Wednesday, April 1st, 2015, regular town board meeting.
The town will have to come with an order on April 1st at 3:00 p.m. Members of the board are present. The media has been notified. We need a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Second, but I'm confused by number five. I'm assuming we'll skip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'll second. We'll see what Matt comes up with for that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I did not see that.
Okay, motion been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of the, this must be the regular, no?
No, just forget number five.
We're going to forget number five because there's nothing that can go in there.
No, nothing goes in number five.
Okay, approval of the amended minutes from February 4th, 2015, regular town board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of the minutes of the March 4th, 2015, regular town board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Treasurer's report.
Well, nothing too much happening yet. As I just said, that they were starting to get more and more money coming into the transfer station. I transferred $100,000 into the regular account from the tax account. We've got some bills that we're going to be paying. So start next month, I believe, we're going to get our, what is it, the roads.
Road aids.
Highway aids.
You know, the funds. Oh, I can't think of it. Senior moment here.
That's okay.
We have about $75,000, so.
Money from the roads.
Yeah, highway aids, yes, highway aids, yeah, that's coming in next month. End of April, so.
Well, I thought it should be different.
Well, I don't know. It's not in there yet.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
Well, today's only the first.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, and so therefore, in the regular town accounts, we have $799,103.69. And in the ambulance account, $380,481.83.
I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Discussion approval of year-end budget adjustments to finalize the 2014 budget. I will let Nancy go from here.
I'm just finalizing the budget for the annual town meeting. And we like to have the subcategories, budget figures match the budget. So the year-end totals are the same. So it's, basically, I'm asking for permission to move $1,000 from the zoning expense line to the cemetery, $2,000 from the lake grant line to the cemetery for a total of $3,000 to the cemetery. We've done a lot of work at the cemetery this year, and that's why it was over budget. I'd like to move $13,000 from road labor to the contract plowing. We needed to use the contract plowing because Greg was off on sick leave for when we had the majority of our snow this year. So that's where that was off. And to move $1,600 from the library fund, I want to move $1,200 to legal and $400 to our health insurance. And then those subcategories will be within budget. So I just need the board approval for that.
Make a motion to authorize those transfers.
I have a question. So I guess, I mean, are we, I understand that the bottom line of the budget's not changing, you know, but we're essentially not, for the annual meeting, we're realigning things so that the budget, items that were budgeted and overspent are not identified in that matter?
Well, they're still going to be overspent because you can't fix every little line item.
It'll still show as going over on that line item. It's just that the bottom line of each subsidy or each subcategory will zero out.
Right, and I put the corrected figures, what it will look like.
Okay, but each line will still be representative of what was actually spent during 2014?
Actual is, actual will stay exactly the same, yes.
Actual stays the same.
Yes. I do not touch actual. I cannot touch actual.
Okay. Second.
Okay, motion been made and seconded to approve the budget request changes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Discussion and possible action, DNR questions, Bear River Lake Management Plan. Norm?
That is directly related, I think, to the next item on the agenda. Any questions I might have, you might answer. Do you take the two together, or do you want to?
No, we'll just do the one at.
10.
Yeah, because I'll give an update where we are with our review and.
That might answer my questions.
Yep.
Because that's my basic question.
Oh, I thought you had some questions from the DNR.
No, I was going, no. I have questions related to the DNR, but I don't have questions from the DNR.
Oh, I thought you had questions, the way I read that, I don't have the email with me, that was, you had some questions from the DNR.
No, I think the statement I gave you indicated I had talked with the DNR, and I have questions, or there are questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Regarding where we are.
Well, I got DNR questions.
Okay.
So, there we go.
I talked about the DNR, I mean, anyway.
Yep.
Okay, fine, I'll do that now, and then that might help.
I didn't say to or from, I just said questions DNR, so.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mentioned back in July, and also at the meeting on February 4th, that the DNR is one of the primary partners on the Bear River Watershed Grant Project. And I have been in a constant, I can't say constant, I've been in regular contact with Kevin Dawkins since then. In fact, since the founding of the Town Lakes Committee, I have been in regular contact with the DNR about where to go and what to do and how to do it and things of that sort. The DNR has a compelling interest in this Bear River project because of our relationship with them. And since 2006, we have been over backwards to nurture a very positive working relationship with the DNR, much as we have with some other groups within the community. And I'd like to point out that since the founding of the Town Lakes Committee, the DNR has provided the town of Lac du Flambeau with over $155,000, which is nothing to sneeze at. And the importance of that is twofold. It's a sign of the relationship we have had with the DNR. But it's also a sign that the DNR is deeply vested in a project like this. We had, I think, 9 or 10 grants, I don't remember how many we received from them, 9 or 10. All of that grant money in one way or another went toward this particular project. And the last four grants, which totaled $12,000, went directly into the production of this product. So the DNR is as much an owner of this document as the town of Lac du Flambeau is. And the DNR has been very interested in this project. They would like to receive a copy of the final products, as does the Water and Conservation Department for Vilas County. They were a partner in this. Both those groups are trying to establish the same kind of a categorization, if you will, of water quality as is discussed in this particular project. So they're very much interested in it. Beyond that, since the founding of the Town Lakes Committee, there have been 670 individual volunteers that have worked on a variety of projects for the Town Lakes Committee. And all of those projects, in one way or another, have contributed to this particular product. Many of them are from lake associations. They are, as you know from having read what you have read of it today, very much to be involved in a lot of the potential activities that are listed there. Our season's coming up. We're going to be starting to meet with the lake associations soon. We would like to be able to share with them where we are in the town on this particular project. The last of the grant applications that were approved for the DNR stated that a deliverable would be for this project to the hands of the DNR. The DNR would like to know where we are with getting this product to them. The expectation is there. And the last time I talked with Kevin Dawkins, I couldn't tell him much, other than the fact that on February 4th, Matthew said you had begun to read it, Ginger, you said you were going to, and that this was going to an attorney. And I've had nothing since then that I can share with these people. And so I'm asking you if you can give some kind of an update where the two of you are anyway. I know where Brian is because he's been on the committee since, for the last few years, and has been a regular contributor as a volunteer since 2006. I don't know. I just need help on what you might have to tell us so I can start to let these folks know, because we're backing up.
Okay.
And need to get unbacked so that we can move ahead.
All right. Well, then I guess what we'll do is we'll go on to item number 11, mm-hmm. which would be the update. You talked to Greg Harold.
Yes, I spoke to Greg Harold, and he replied that he was one-third through the process of going through the plan. He's working on it as hard as he can, but he does have other obligations, so he says he's about one-third through.
Okay. And me, I'm probably about halfway through it. And I, at least in my opinion, I think that once I get through this and find where and what questions I have, then it would be prudent, I guess, to have a meeting and go through those. And they're either questions, clarifications, or where I see that we might have potential problems or conflicts. I don't know where you are with it, but
I've read it, but I haven't compiled notes and questions yet, so I have to go through and find all of my notes that I wrote on the pages.
End of April? End of May? End of June? July? And anything would be helpful. You know, they're holding up a reimbursement.
Yeah.
Until we get something going here. And this is exceedingly frustrating. You've got to know that, because this was left with you in July.
But well, the update was just given to us recently.
Yeah, but I went through the update with you, and there's not much of substance that changed. But even so, you've had, we left it with you 2 weeks before the February 4th meeting.
Yeah, no,
it's 2.5 months.
The way I look at it, it's my responsibility as a town board member, though, to read through this, understand it, questions that I have would need to be answered then.
And that's what I'll tell the people.
Yeah,
to find out what happened.
You know, I'll get at it yet again as fast as I can. It might be a couple of months, and like I said, then we'll have to sit down and you'd need to either clarify or answer any questions that I have, or you know, the concerns that I have in here that would be for the town. If those need to be changed, rewritten, taken out, I don't know.
Well, Mr. Dauphier said he's willing to confer with the attorney if that helps. Mm-hmm. And again, we offered 8 weeks ago to meet with him ourselves, and that offer still stands. I hear nothing on that regard.
Yeah, it's 500 pages.
It's got a lot of pictures in it, too. You know?
Well, has the tribe approved it?
Huh?
Has the tribe approved it?
No, their attorney has completed his work, and he has submitted his opinion to the tribal council.
And do you have a commitment from them as to when they will approve it?
My understanding is that the tribe is moving ahead, and they're making progress. I have been to meetings where questions have been
asked. That's what I'm trying to do. You can see there's an awful lot of sticky notes in here.
I wouldn't be surprised if, Brian?
I think what Norm's trying to get at is that he doesn't, just by like hearing that the attorney's a third away reading through it, I guess I'm concerned that that's not a, it's not a, we're not being prudent in asking him to read the entire document. I really think that he would benefit and we would benefit from sitting down with Norm and Gretchen and having them walk us through it for an hour and say, these are the, you know, these are the decisions that were made out of all this background work. You know, a lot of it's just text, and a lot of it's repetitive text associated with each of the chapters associated with each of the lakes. I really think, and I guess I'm concerned, my concern is how much, I mean, does our attorney have a blank check from the town to read this 500-page?
Yeah, but I guess I'm sure that sometime through attorney school, attorneys have got a class that tells them to read all documents thoroughly to the end. They don't just not read them because they don't think they need to. But
I guess what I really think that the action team that's dedicated so much time into putting all this together, including Norm, who's really headed up himself as a volunteer, really deserves to at least have that dialogue with our attorney or with you guys more in a more casual setting. When let's just sit down for an hour, let them walk us through it, you know, section by section, point out things that might be interesting or might, you know, that it might be beneficial for an attorney to review thoroughly. I guess that's just so we can kind of get some of that dialogue and feedback.
My understanding is that the tribal attorney has read the document, has issued a letter to the tribal council, and though I have not seen it, I have been advised that it's very supportive, that it seconds the comments that I've made to you previously about this document not impinging on tribal government or town government in any way, that it's advisory in the fullest extent, and supports it.
Okay, well, I guess what I'll do is I'll keep working on it as quickly and diligently as I can. I'll call the attorney and ask him if he can, you know, maybe pick up the pace on it. And once we get through it and the questions, at least that I have, then I can give you a call or an email or something and we'll try to set something up.
It just concerns me greatly that collectively we are not showing the respect to the community that we ought to be showing.
Well, I am showing the respect to the community and doing my job and reviewing it.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's what they elected us to do.
Yes, in a timely manner. Thank you.
Yep.
Can we, when you talk to the attorney, can you ask him, you know, what are we expecting for a bill on this? I mean,
sure.
I think we should, I'd like to get an update as to
sure.
if he's read a third of it and, you know, how much thousands of dollars has that cost, you know?
I can do that.
Attorneys aren't cheap.
I will let Nancy know. All right. Item number 12, discussion. Oh, yes, sir.
Can I speak to this,
you sure can.
This study, I believe they started this in 2005 or somewhere around there. Is that right? That's the timeline that's in that book.
The Town Lakes Committee was established in 2005.
Yeah, this started in. When did you start compiling this watershed?
2011, I think.
2011.
Yeah. Well, then, 4 years ago. You know, reading it, it says, you know, they claimed that it started in 2005 on until some timeline in 2011. But, you know, we've been dealing with, my point is, we've been dealing with invasive species here since, oh, I don't know, probably.
When did the rusty crayfish first stick their head around here, in the 1970s?
Probably around the year of 1492.
You went back a little further than me.
Right. And that's the earliest time that we have any recollection of any kind of invasive species.
Yes.
Including the problems we dealt with over the years here in town, which one of them was called the Norway rat, you know, which is not... It's not a natural
Mm-mm.
citizen of this land.
No.
You know, and we've dealt with invasive species since they jumped out the boat, you know, and took up residence here, along with a lot of other things, you know, syphilis, smallpox, and everything else, you know, diphtheria, and everything else, all those kinds of invasive germs and species. And what's happening to our lakes, you know, I read the history of this study, and I have to commend the historians who for doing an extensive study of Black the Flannel and its history. And I've read that for quite a few years. It comes up every time we need to look for money to do something else, and then we trot it out and say, well, this is the whole, you know, everything through snowmobiling to Powell, the Indian Bowl, the Hot Pond, you name it, you know. But, you know, the primary cause for all of this stuff that's going on in the Bear River watershed was civilization,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not managing it. One of the major points in the study that stuck out to me was, despite all the money that we might spend on lawyers, what are the primary responsibilities here? It's not necessarily falling upon the town government. One of the primary responsibilities is the major problem of who owns or who has the standing over the issues of water here in this area. And in 2010, the tribe was granted federal standing. The town wasn't, has never been. The town shares the sovereignty of the United States. But as far as federal standing over the issues of the water here, the tribe is the major holder of that federal standing. And until the tribe comes up with something comprehensive or a plan how to implement that power, I don't see us advancing this study to the level that we can actually see some progress taking place. And probably the impetus for this should be to work with the tribe to help them get those enforcements or that what their authorities consist of with this federal standing, because as a tribal member, I don't see that there's any document that exists like that. I don't see that the tribe has any document that exists like that. Maybe they do now, maybe they don't. But I haven't seen anything in the newspapers or anywhere else that says that they have developed that authority and how to implement and how to use it. And that has every bit of point here that's over what we're talking about, the Bear River watershed, mm-hmm. our water table, and use of water here. And helping to alleviate some of these invasive species. I think we need to be focusing on that. And myself, not being a lawyer, the first thing I caught is that, you know, is I'm just a high school graduate, but things like this, they do interest me. And if somebody that you paid money to, you know, an accomplished lawyer, hasn't identified that for you, then you're not getting your money's worth. And as a taxpayer in this town, a landowner, property owner, I'm concerned about how the money's spent. Definitely. And I know, at least I know you do, Matt, and Ms. Schwanovic, you know, we're all concerned about where our taxes go, you know, because we're property owners. Mm-hmm. And I want to see our lakes better, our water table better, but I want to do it without any distractions over getting the job done. And I think we need to answer that question
as
who is going to exert that authority in a meaningful way, and how does that affect us as a property owner and a taxpayer in this town.
I will, when I talk to him, Harold, I'll tell him
this. We need some document that expresses that and that outlines how they're going to use that federal standing and authority. Because, you know, it's something that town has to live with and how we interact and cooperate. Unless that's a settled issue, I still haven't seen any documents to that point where it's even been on the table. All it was reported in the newspapers in the Lakeland Times in 2010. After that,
I guess I haven't seen anything either, just no, been what we've been told.
Even those people over there in the Lakeland Times are remiss in following up on things like that, you know, and they should be. They're Johnny on spot on everything else in this county. That's my comment.
I will bring that up to him. Chris? Point.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that because I really appreciated his dialogue. I happened to be a county board supervisor at the time, and I actually got censured and removed from a committee, which was a county tribal concerns, because I spoke on behalf of the tribal people to obtain the water rights status from the federal government. And it wasn't really a popular issue at that point. It was very popular because it made headlines in the paper. However, if I remember, even as much rallying as young as I was in my career at the county government, the county voted against it. It didn't pass at the county. And then when it hit Governor Doyle's desk, it failed tremendously there. There was so much pressure put on, there was no way they were going to give up water rights to the Lactor Flambeau people. So I still hung in there, and I survived that. However, what I will say is, when that was all done and said, there was no prerequisite of how they did it. It was that they had the responsibility of doing it. And I'm a little amazed as I'm sitting here today and I have people that are introducing this and they're saying that the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, is waiting for a response. From what I was told and what I was briefed and what I read very much material. There was nothing compiled within the boundaries of this reservation of the water quality, of what existed, where they were going. They had no idea what was going on. I could take you to a lake that was half on the boundaries and they might know a little bit about it, but anything within the boundaries of this reservation, there was none existence of any such documentation of any water qualities or any situations from the beginning of time. And nobody's been able to produce that for me then. And that was why I felt so strongly about, I would take my whole political career and put it on the line to question, is we live in such a pristine area and everybody's so proud of outside of Lac du Flambeau, but nobody recognizes the people that live within it and respect it. And you can't give me any compilation of what's going on. So to me, it was a no-brainer. But it does confuse me a little bit now, is now we want to expand this and we want to receive revenues. And now all of a sudden, now the DNR wants to be part of it. And I guess I want to question that, is I thought that the tribe wanted to take the situation over and they were going to actually take the water rights status according to the U.S. Trust Doctrine.
So what are you saying, that we're putting the cart before the horse here,
they're asking right now, because the DNR is the one putting the pressure on the Lakes Committee.
Right.
That seemed to be the movement going on here today. And now listening to this conversation, as he's questioning it also, and I'm still questioning it, is now all of a sudden the DNR takes an interest in it. Is that because that's the vessel of the money? Is that what we're looking at, is we shouldn't be using the DNR, we should be going directly to the federal government, because I thought that the status was alleviated, the state status was alleviated from the state and it was gave to the tribal people.
If I wasn't clear before, let me be now. The DNR is not putting any pressure on the Town Lakes Committee. I went to the DNR to share information with the DNR. The DNR has been a partner with the Town Lakes Committee since its inception in 2005 and 2006. There's a 9-year working relationship with the DNR. No conflict, no pressure of any kind. The pressure is on us to uphold that positive working relationship. And the longer it takes us to do that, the more we're jeopardizing a future relationship. We're the ones in control of it. Nothing negative here about the DNR in any way, or with the tribe in any way. The tribe has been over backward to work with the Town Lakes Committee in every respect with this particular project. Every time I've gone out and talked with the community groups since 2006, and that's probably at least 30 times, every one of those instances, I expressed to the public that the DNR has been very positive in working with us, the tribe has been very positive in working with us, and I said the town has been very positive in working with us. And anybody who was in any of those workshops or attended any of those meetings can attest to that. So it's been nothing but a positive message going out to everybody for the last 9 years. But we have a hang-up now that we have to get through. And we can't hide that hang-up. We've got to move ahead. So whatever this kerfuffle is, let's get it out of the way and move on.
Okay. Thanks, Norm. I think the comments from these two gentlemen led us a little bit off topic of what this particular document is. And I guess I'd just like to do my best to clarify from what I understand about what this document is versus what Mr. Jackson raised, which I think you're referring to the treatment as a state status that the tribe has for Clean Water Act water quality standards. So that's one thing. Water quality standards that the tribe has is for the regulation of point source discharges, which filled a regulatory gap on the reservation. This document does not deal with point source discharges primarily, but at all. This document, the focus of this document is more or less focused on invasive species and aquatic plants within the Bear River watershed. And going back to 2005, when the Town Lakes Committee was first formed, it was formed as a result of a local grassroots effort to try and deal with aquatic invasive species. And there, coincidentally, there was funds available from the Wisconsin DNR to help communities in the state deal with the threat of potential infestations of aquatic invasive species, as well as helping contain existing infestations from spreading to other areas. So the state DNR, although they do not have jurisdiction for water quality standards as it relates to point source discharges and wetland fills and things like that, that the tribe has treatment as a state for, the Wisconsin DNR does have an interest in protecting the spread of aquatic invasive species, because as we all know, that can be easily transferred from boat to boat as fishermen and recreational boaters go from Minocqua to here or vice versa or wherever. And so this document, if approved by the town or the tribe and then the DNR, would be a prerequisite for being able to handle infestations of aquatic invasive species if they were ever to come to Lac du Flambeau. This document is a super comprehensive version of a lake management plan. Gunlock Shishibakuma Lake Association actually headed up their own in a proactive manner a few years ago and got it approved following the whatever's required by the state, so that if by chance Gunlock or Shishibakuma ends up with aquatic invasive species, they'll have the proper plan in place or documentation that's required as a prerequisite to access funds available from the state in order to deal with those issues as they come up. That's the main focus of this. There's a lot of other things in here, and it does talk about, in some sections, it does talk about point source discharges. It does talk about fishing. It does talk about other user groups, user conflicts. It talks about swimmer's itch. It talks about shoreline habitat, things like that. So we're talking about two different things is what I'm kind of trying to get at, and I think that needs to be clarified, is that the Wisconsin DNR's interest in this document being approved and supporting the efforts of the Lac du Flambeau Town Lakes Committee is very separate from the federal authorities that's granted to the tribe for, under the Clean Water Act, for setting water quality standards. And the tribe has set water quality standards. 3 years ago they were approved, and they just went through a triennial review, which included public comment periods and things like that for individuals that had concerns about what levels the standards are at or any of the anything related to those. And so there's an opportunity for public engagement in those. As far as water quality data, Mr. Meyer had brought up, the state has mechanisms for keeping their water quality data on their databases, I think, at the state under the Wisconsin DNR. The tribe has a direct relationship with the EPA on that, and so they keep their water quality data in an EPA database that's publicly accessible as well. So I think it's important, I really think that both any of your concerns would really be alleviated if you had a conversation with either Larry or Dee or Gretchen from the Tribal Natural Resources Department about those issues, because they're very well versed in it. That's what they do for a living. So I think I would welcome, I would point you in their direction, I guess, and they'd be happy to talk to you about any concerns that you have regarding the relationships of these processes and this document versus water quality standards versus treatment as a state and things like that. Ralph?
Just like to make a comment. I've worked with Larry and with Gretchen on the tribal DNR, but since 1999, I've been taking water quality measurements on Little Crownstone and sending them to the DNR in Madison. And that's into one of these databases that you were just talking about. So there's been a long-term involvement of the DNR on the chain of lakes within the town of Flambeau.
Good, thanks. Harold?
Yeah, I understand this explanation, but how can you separate the issues of the water and the legal federal standard that the tribe has over the issues of the water? But we can talk about a plant. Now that plant there needs water, but where do we get that water from? Do we give it good water or not?
Those are all identified in the Clean Water Act.
But you can't separate one from the other, you can't treat the invasive species without affecting the water quality. And the jurisdiction over it has to be a settled issue. That's one thing. And then there's our future. I hear this term being bandied about here about the authorities of the DNR. Now, the last time I heard about it was yesterday morning, as the state legislators here are gung-ho at taking away a whole lot of authorities, in fact, the authority of granting grants and monies to the various towns and counties and other departments that in the state of Wisconsin, and taking that power away, and a whole lot of jurisdictional power away from the DNR, and downsizing it to a very small committee, and instilling that authority, especially that financial monetary authority, in one person or two people, Kathy Stepp and then Governor Walker. So that's the cloud on the horizon overshadowing whatever discussions we're talking about there, our particular study on our lakes here. Now there's, you multiply that by all the other counties and towns here who also have jurisdiction over some of their lakes and their water, not the least of which was the Bad River Reservation over the mining up there. Mm-hmm. You know, that has come to a head, and what it has showed us is that the DNR was pretty remiss in allowing and encouraging the GTAC mining to go ahead without doing their job. So I can't harbor any sympathy for them, you know, because if they're going to allow things like that to happen, and that's the source we have to go to help us, you know, keep our pristine waters around here, you know, what benefit is that? You know, it all comes down to, you can't separate the one from the other. Invasive species come here and they want to live in our water, you know, and we're concerned about that. You know, to divide them up is no different than the task that was put before Solomon about settling the parentage of the child. And the way he settled it was, he said, well, you know, each one of you take a leg and then we'll split that child in half, you know, and that's a pretty absurd way to describe a problem and say that's the way to solve it. You can't separate one from the other. Mm-hmm. And we can't split the child apart. It's a big problem. It's not a enormous problem.
It's not unsolvable either.
It's not a life-changing problem. We are talking about that study there. Its intent is to improve something, and I'm for that. But because we're standing here, sitting here, talking about this, it's just evidence that it's not a complete study. There are some definitions that have to be had to add to it before it's a final, complete study. Myself, I have to work with, here at Lac des Flambeaux, with the NEG Empowerment Zone Committee, which our whole thing is to look for grants to improve the reservation and develop projects that do improve, such as putting new curb and gutter in downtown Lac des Flambeaux, building a new law enforcement center, building a new natural resources building for the various people who work in that building, you know, and putting in new fish runs and whatever, you know. But coming from that standpoint, you do have to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, and you can't trot something out before it's complete, because having to have resubmit grants and applications for help, you know, dozens of times because things weren't done right and didn't have the proper definitions, is kind of like putting the cart before the horse. I would say that the study is not complete. It needs some final additions to it, and adjustments, along with legal definitions and where the tribe stands and where the town stands, so we could get together and improve this water, yep, this watershed. And that's my point. It's not complete. I read it from front to back. It's a nice history of Lac des Flambeaux,
yeah, but
you know, I mean, that's neither here nor there, you know. Doesn't tell me anything about what we're gonna do about the water or how to get rid of the, what we're gonna do in the future for invasive species. It doesn't even tell me how to do away with the Eurasian water milfoil or fleas, spiny water fleas in the water, you know. Doesn't tell me how to get rid of impetigo. Our kids go swimming here, and our tourists go swimming here, and they leave here with impetigo, because that's in the water.
Rubbing alcohol. Does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, without hearing any, we will take your comments and suggestions, Norm's, Brian's, Ginger's, everybody's that had here, and I'll sort through them and either get answers and or clarifications.
Yeah, my advice is proceed at a deliberate pace because it's a good project. Mm-hmm. You know.
But just proceed and make sure that we have it covered correctly.
The word is deliberate, at a deliberate pace.
I'll sketch that on top of mine. Okay. Discussion, possible action, speed limit on thoroughfare near the boat landing. This, Brian, you had asked that placed on there?
So I don't know how familiar you guys are. I assume you're pretty familiar, but it's curvy through there. There's a narrow bridge that goes over the channel. Then there's the boat landing, which seems to have gotten significant extra boat traffic over the last 3-4 years, and what I've noticed anyway. There's a couple of homes that have small children. There's dogs running around. There's snowmobiles in the winter, things like that. I've noticed it myself. That's an issue because, you know, by default, I guess our speed limit there is 55.
Yeah.
It's not posted, it's 55.
Yeah, actually, because I went through and I thought we had signs on both ends. There's actually one sign on one end towards East Crawling Stone Road. There's a 35 mile an hour advisory sign, yellow sign. There's nothing on the other end. There used to be. I don't know what happened to it.
The 35 sign, I think, is approaching Wildcat from the south.
Is it maybe on the other side of the bridge?
So I guess what I would the feedback I've heard from individuals that live along that stretch, but also drivers that have had close calls, have approached me with a concern regarding that. And I guess I have a couple questions about how to proceed. I guess with maybe doing something about lowering the speed limit throughout that entire stretch mm-hmm. including Wildcat and the curve right after Wildcat, and then also the homes that are up kind of along thoroughfare, the south side of the boat landing and the channel.
I took a ride through there today just to refamiliarize myself with it. I guess if we were to put some type of speed limit posting on the other side of East Crawling Stone towards F, and on the other side of Wildcat towards 47, it would cover that whole area.
That's what I was thinking too.
And we can get some new 35 mile an hour signs back up in there, maybe something a little bit larger. I'll talk to Pete, same as what we had on East Fence Lake Road, and and get those up, because they were there. They
the
were
advisory
the
signs?
Ones. Yeah, they were smaller ones, but
did they come down when there was the sewer work that was done?
No, it wasn't that far up. They didn't go that far. I don't know why the one on the one end is down, but there used to
but
be two
advisory
there.
Signs.
Yep.
And the reason for advisory is because, well, I guess I'd like to talk about that just a little bit.
Well, and we can do that because when you asked to have this, I had to refresh my memory. The advisory signs, I called
Jared
over at Vilas County, and he told me, he says, well, if you want to drop your speed limit and have a set enforceable speed limit, you need to do the traffic study and you have to have an ordinance, and okay. Well, then in looking into it a little bit more, I don't know for sure, and I need to find out yet, if we need to do the traffic study. We may, as a board, be able to set a speed limit, but we do need to have an ordinance. And there is no ordinances that I'm aware of.
Do you remember years ago we used to, the DOT used to do the traffic studies for mm-hmm. us, and then one time the representative from the DOT came to a board meeting, you could probably find it in the minutes going way back, and said that we will no longer be doing the traffic mm-hmm. studies for you, but they still must be done.
Yep.
Now that may have changed in the intervening years, I don't know, but
well, maybe I can contact somebody from Rhineland or DOT.
But I believe they still need to be done because you have to prove the need for a reduced speed limit.
Chris?
Yeah, I know at the county level, if we had a county road that needed to be dropped less than 10 miles per hour, it was about an average of $10,000 per study.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that the town is required to that.
And that's what I was finding, was that I don't know as if the town now is required to do that. And you know, I was getting that from Jared, and so I can understand. He's looking at it from the county end of things.
I would have to say is if you just called Martha Malinowski, she would be able to have that.
Either her or
Greg.
Well, Greg, or I can call the DOT.
Or Wisconsin Towns Association.
Towns Association, get some money out of what we spend on it.
Free legal advice.
I poked around a little bit too, and from what I understand, there's a couple things that I still need to clarify for myself, but under state statutes, there's a list of sections or specs, I guess, of town roads mm-hmm. that are by default already set by under state statutes. And so yep. in order for the town to change astray from those, we would need to do the traffic study and justify it. But I noticed that one of those fixed limits under statute 346.57 is that a road can be, it by default is already set at 35 miles per hour if within 1,000 feet from the road there are dwellings or buildings that have an average space of less than 150 feet apart.
Yeah, which we definitely would fit in out there.
Yeah, so that those homes, right? They're stacked. Yep. They're close.
They're pretty close in there.
Yep. And so.
Oh yeah, they're within 1,000 feet. That's for sure.
So I guess, given that, I would argue that the speed limit should already be 35 there, and I'm not sure whether or not. I know it also says in the statute. 35 miles per hour on any town road where on either side of the highway within 1,000 feet along such highway the buildings in use for business, industrial, residential purposes fronting there an average less than 150 feet apart, provided the town board has adopted an ordinance determining such speed limit and has posted signs. Now, what I don't know is whether or not, in order to adopt that ordinance, whether or not we have to do that traffic study. I guess I would doubt it because it's already set in state statutes or whatever. So. I guess I would hope that maybe we could look into that. Yep. And it'd be nice to actually put...
Well, it's worth looking into to save ourselves 10 grand.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, yeah. to avoid that cost. But then I also just, in noticing when thinking about this, down at the north end of Thoroughfare, from Petroleum Heat and Power, that whole section is already posted at 35 with official 35 signs. Maybe those were kind of thrown up there.
Well,
I think that was done before.
In years...
We had the DOT doing this.
Okay.
And also, if you travel around and you look hard enough, you might even find some of the old black and white speed limit signs still around town, which are illegal.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and so it used to be through the 60s, 70s, 80s, the person would call in here and say, they're going fast past my house. The guys from the crew, they go out to the shop, they grab some signs, they hang them on a post. So nowadays, lawsuit happy world, you don't do that anymore.
So, is it fair to ask that maybe we look into
yep.
the official 35 signs in that area, and maybe we can do it without having to do?
Yep.
I don't know if we have to do an ordinance.
And I guess that's what I was getting at is look into doing it officially, and if an ordinance is necessary, so be it. I don't know of any that we have here.
I looked through the book today. I did not see any. But
I don't think any have ever been done since 1900.
We could probably get our hands on a template pretty easily, I think, from the
They have them. Okay.
Okay. Are we going to have fees, fines, and forfeitures involved in
this
ordinance?
That's what I got.
And if we do...
How are we going to enforce them?
We're going to indicate that the Sheriff's Department has enforcement ability, mm-hmm.
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that we have
and
to
so
do.
They get the fees, fines, and forfeitures.
Yeah,
okay.
That we have to go to... It has to go to Vilas County.
Okay.
All right.
Once
I will look into it.
On that.
I will look into it, and I will bring it up at a future board meeting. Item number 13, review for approval ambulance standby request King of the Cage event for 418.
Yep. Received the application. I received the certificate of insurance, and I have received the check.
Motion.
Requesting two vehicles for April 18th, King of the Cage.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carried. Review for approval, bartender's license for Catherine T. St. Germain.
Motion to approve.
Nothing there.
Motion.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Discussion, board invitation to Waterway Walk. Norm had asked that I place this on the agenda also. Extending an invitation to the town board.
I'm wearing another hat now. I'm not a town laker on this one. I'm somebody else.
Okay.
A few months ago, I received...
You're an individual, huh?
A few months ago, I received a telephone call from Tinker Schulman asking if I would consider sitting in on a committee that they were forming to establish a water weight law. I had no idea what it was, but I said, sure. So I found myself with another 15 or so individuals on this particular committee and offer a little advice if it's worth anything occasionally. In any event, the waterway walk is going to be held, and I have a brochure for you. And the committee asked that I share this with you and extend an invitation for you and the employees of the town to participate in this. It's only a 10-mile walk.
Only 10 miles.
Only 10 miles, but you don't have to walk the entire 10. We're going to have
stations.
Can
I have my wife pick me up at one end and take me to the other?
There happens to be a bus following you around, so if you need the rest, you can hop on. And that's true. It's being organized to be held on Friday, May 8th, starting in the evening with that kickoff potluck feast at the Powwow Grounds. And then on Saturday, May 9th, there'll be a ceremony at sunrise at the Powwow Grounds, followed by some introductory comments, and then from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., walk around the lakes. And the two lakes are identified on the map in the back. Now, why do this? It's out of respect, reverence, if you will, for the water. As most people would recognize, the Lac des Flambeaux area has been blessed with some of the finest water, not only in the country, but the finest water in the world. And occasionally, it's thought to be good to sit back and be thankful for that. And that's the purpose of this. The history of water walks goes back, at least formally, to 2003, where some folks started working their way around Lake Superior. And in subsequent years, all the Great Lakes have been walked around, and now they're moving into some of the inland waters. And Tinker and Patricia O'Neill, spontaneously, so to speak, started talking about this. One thing led to another, and now we're at the point of offering the community the opportunity to express their reverence, respect for the water on these 2 days. When you look at the reverse and you see the maps, you'll notice that there are a number of locations where there will be for potty stops to get a ride, to go back home if that's as far as you're going to go, or start at that particular point. There also will be a van that is going with the group as it goes around. So if anyone needs to rest right away, they can step onto the van and then get off later on when they feel rested. So on behalf of that committee, I'm fulfilling what they asked me to do.
Thank
and
you.
To invite you cordially to participate in this event, as well as all of the employees and others affiliated with the town of Lac des Flambeaux. You are, as we can talk through the water, we're responsible for water.
I look at this and kind of laugh. Over the years, since age 5, I probably have walked or biked around this whole thing several times.
And you should have no problem making it this time. And another reason I say that is that the committee asked me to ask you if you would speak at the opening ceremonies and say a few words about whatever you
to.
Feel you would like to say about this. I would ask that you call Tinker or
yep.
Patricia in that respect, because I don't know what the specific plans are.
That's the kickoff evening of May 8th.
Yes, Friday night, May 8th.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thought you'd have to get up at sunrise.
I'm up before the sun.
Well, then you can take that
actually.
One, too.
Very good. Okay, well, with that, then I guess we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to adjourn at 3:52. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I probably have biked or walked that since age 5, God knows how many times. Actually, I was probably on the back of a bike at age 1.
Right.
Do you?
Going through there.
Probably shot at you a couple of times with my
sleep. Or chasing, yeah. Lord knows when we were kids, we got shot. Then you got to shoot back.